Good morning. We are glad you're all here. This is a full house. It's great to see so many faces. And if you are just joining us this week, we've been journeying through John 1, as we just read. And this morning, we're going to dig a little deeper in just looking at verses 6 to 13. As I was preparing this week, I started to get that little tickle in my throat, and I was thinking, oh no, I'm getting sick. I can't be getting sick. I don't have time for this. They have too much going on. Being sick is often an interruption in our life. Maybe, you know, you like to play games on your phone or watch shows. I usually do all my music, everything on the free version. So I get these ads that interrupt and come and pop up. Or maybe you've been laying in bed and someone comes in and turns the light on and you just start to close your eyes and fall asleep. These are all interruptions that are often not appreciated. But hopefully we'll look at this morning that in the same way, there are interruptions that come into our life that can be life-changing. We just have to slow down and see them for what they are. So I'm going to read just these few verses again, and then we're going to take a little deeper dive into this journey. So we have here, we've been talking about Jesus as the Word and the Light. And in verse 6, we pick up, "There came a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. There was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God." We have this light that we've been looking at, and we're going to see that there's part, we're invited into this. We're invited to bear witness to the light, to believe in the light, and to live in the light as children of God. If we look back at Genesis 1, right at the very beginning of God's word here, we have this first picture of light interrupting the darkness, light bursting into the world. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. John MacArthur says, "When the light, the spiritual light of Christ, hits the living soul, which would be equal to that of opening the functioning eye, everything is illuminated in the spiritual realm. The light, according to John, is none other than life. That eternal life, who is the Lord Jesus Christ? Who is the Word that comes from God? He is the Word because in him God speaks. He is the life because through him God gives life. He is the light because by him everything in the spiritual realm is illuminated. Apart from him, there is no word from God. Apart from him, there is no life. Apart from him, there is no true understanding. All is darkness." So we've been taking a little, the last couple weeks, we've had a deeper dive into looking at this as Jesus as the Word and Jesus as the Light. Matthew and Jeff both shared on that. So if you haven't had the chance, you can find those messages online. I strongly encourage you. It'll give you a bigger perspective of this idea of Jesus as the Light. So today we come to John, to verse 6, and we have this, almost this interruption in a thought. It's talking about Jesus as the Word and the Light. And then verse 6, out of nowhere, says, "There came a man sent by God whose name was John." Verse 6, just this interruption, introducing John. All of a sudden there. But the beauty in this is all of a sudden we have mankind being invited into the story. We have this man chosen by God being revealed, to be involved in God's great plan. God had this plan and he chose to involve others. And John will bear witness to the light. So you may be wondering, who is this John? Now, not to be confused with the author, John, this is, as you often know him, as John the Baptist. So I'm just going to read a little description of him given by Matthew in verses 2-8. And kids, you might want to listen up. He was an interesting guy, so you want to hear how he lived. Oops. Sorry, I think I marked the wrong page. Guys, I marked the wrong page. Oh no. So John the Baptist, he was the man that was prophesied by Isaiah, and he was living, he would come and he would share the word. He lived out, he wore sackcloth and camel's hair, and he often ate bugs. How many of you guys had bugs for breakfast? No? No? Oh, we had some. Some had bugs for breakfast, apparently. So he was living, and this is who he was, but God had foretold that he would come, and he would be we have a table collapsing over here. He would be the one who would bear witness to Jesus. And that is what we have right here in verse 7, that he came as a witness to testify about the light, so that all might believe in him and know who he was. John came to break the silence. There had been 400 years of silence. The prophets were no longer speaking, and all of a sudden, the promised Savior was going to be here. He was the one who was preparing the way. Just as Isaiah had said hundreds of years before, in those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the desert of Judea, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the desert, "Prepare the way for the Lord and make straight paths for him." He was coming. He was going to bear witness to the light. If you had seen something amazing or you knew something amazing, and he was going out and he was telling them that this was going to happen, he wasn't trying to draw attention to himself. Many started to follow him, but he wasn't saying, "Hey, look at me." He was pointing outwards. He was pointing all to Jesus. He knew his purpose. So we have things like that in our world. We have, for example, we're going to look at a few examples here. Have any of you guys seen these things in the sky? Kids, have you ever seen the moon at night? Shine nice and bright? Or what about a rainbow after a storm? A rainbow. Or a diamond. So a diamond, this one's, it's its rough form. But all these things, guess what? Without light, they would be nothing. They wouldn't really be there. The moon itself does not actually have light, even though we see it shining. It's reflecting the sun's light. The rainbow we get after the light hits the raindrops, and we get this beautiful burst of light that lights up in our sky. Or the diamond that we often see on hands, or we see big ones places, and we think, look at that diamond. And it sparkles, but it has been cut. And to maximize the light, to reflect it off, you get these sparkles everywhere. And it you get little rainbows too sometimes from the diamonds. So they themselves do nothing. But when the light hits them, it reflects off and shines. And that is exactly what John was doing. He was allowing his life to illuminate Christ. He knew he was just a simple human, but he knew his purpose was to bear witness to Jesus. He goes on to say, if you look further in John chapter 1, in verse 8, he says, "I am not the light." In verse 20, he says, "I am not the Christ." In 21, "I am not the Elijah." In 21, he says, "I am not a prophet." He even says, "I am not worthy to untie his sandals." Our world is often telling us that, you know what, we want the most followers. We want the most likes. We, you know, Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, everything is pointing at us. It's all about pointing inward. Look at me, look at me. But John knew his purpose. It was pointing out. He was allowing himself to be that reflection, to point all to Jesus. And we get invited into that. We are invited into allow Christ to shine through us and to reflect off of us, to bear witness to the light, to show God's glory to the world. 1 John 2:8 says, I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him, and you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. This true light is what he mentions here in verse 9. There was the true light which was coming into the world, and it enlightens every man. Kids, anyone remember the name of God that we learned last week? Does anyone remember? You shut it out if you remember. Oh, I don't know. I heard you. Yes, Emmanuel. Emmanuel. It means God with us. This is Jesus was coming, this light into our world. Emmanuel, God with us. This true light is Alethinios. It's that which not only the name, that which has not only the name and semblance, but the real nature. This is the light, the glory of God. He was the one coming. That light of salvation shines only in Jesus Christ. J.C. Ryle puts it this way. Christ is to the souls of men what the sun is to the world. He is the center and the source of all spiritual light. Like the sun, he shines for the common benefit of all mankind, for high and for low, for rich and for poor, for Jew and for Greek. Like the sun, he is free to all. All may look at him and drink health out of his light. If millions of mankind were mad enough to dwell in caves underground or to bandage their eyes, their darkness would be their own fault and not the fault of the sun. The light was coming into the world. John was testifying to that. But we have a tragedy revealed right after this in verse 10 and 11. Right away, Jesus, the creator of the world, is showing up, but the world does not know him. His people, the Israelites, the ones who had been waiting for this prophecy to be fulfilled, they did not receive him. So Yorkson, what do we do with the true light? The light that bursts into our lives, that interrupts our world? Well, John lays it clearly here. We have this light. This light has come into the world. And it's a pretty simple formula. He says, receive and believe, and you will be children of God. The plan of God was never going to be thwarted, even though the enemy had tried. Just as he had a plan from the very beginning, we have this beautiful plan revealed here in his message in verses 12 and 13. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. We receive and we believe, and we become everlasting children, adopted into God's family. Talking this receiving, I was thinking back, what was one of the most, and as this week is joy, I was thinking, what is one of the most joyful moments of my life? And honestly, the day I became a parent. And these are my daughters, Tennessee and Ariane, and they're a lot older. And the day that this was right after, the first time holding them, the first time embracing them. And I can remember that as one of the moments that's the most vivid in my life, just taking them into our arms and receiving them. And, you know, our lives, we fully receive them. We had prepared the room back home. We had the house ready. We had the stroller. We had everything that we thought we needed as parents, probably more than we needed, as most parents can probably realize. We fill up on all the stuff. But, you know, that moment that they joined our family and we became parents to a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old, our lives changed completely. There wasn't one part of our lives that was left the same. And this is what happens when we receive Jesus. We prepare our hearts. We invite him in. He's the one who embraces us in his arms. But we allow him to totally change our lives. So we have this first part. We receive him. We believe in his name. This is the second part. So we receive him and we believe. The idea of believing has 3 Latin words to it. The first is the sense, notia. We know the truth, right? Like often we get this part, we know the truth. And then assensus, we ascend to the truth. And fiducia, we trust in the truth. This is, I think, the hardest part. And we put our destiny in the hands of the one in whom we believe. That full trusting, this believing in the full, gives us the right to become. And this word to become, genome, is to come into existence, to be made, to arise. We have been created physically, and when we receive and believe in him, we are created as new spiritual children. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Christ makes us new. We all carry heaviness. We all carry maybe regrets. We all have shame. We all have these things. And the beauty is we can lay it down in that moment of receiving and believing. We can lay it down, and he makes us a new creation, beautiful in him. And I want you to just note in that 2 Corinthians passage there, it says, the old has gone, the new has come. And we have an exclamation mark there. So if you are an English major or something, we have this here. It is something to be declared. It is a strong feeling. The new has come. As he said in verse 13, not born out of natural descent, but born of God. This is the work of God. John 15:16 says, you did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit. This idea of bear fruit is how we bear witness. This is full circle picture. So we receive, we believe in this light, the light of Christ. We become his children, and he does the work in us that we bear fruit. And we naturally bear witness. We project the glory of God to those around us. And oh, does our world need it, right? There's so much brokenness around us. We need that light of Christ. 1 John 3:1 says, how great is the love of the Father that he has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. So if you have believed and you have received, I hope you can claim that to know that you are a child of God. You are a child of the King of Kings, the creator of this universe. That is who you are. But maybe you're thinking, I don't feel it. I don't feel like God is caring about me right now. You don't know how hard my life is. You don't know what news I just got. You don't know the circumstances and everything that seems to piling up against me. Well, right after I had said yes to Jeff to share this week, the week of joy in our Advent season, well, my husband lost his job. We have a farm. I had a whole litter of piglets die. I had a really rough week in a relationship. And my daughter hurt her hand and had to go to the hospital. It just felt like everything was adding up. And this is just a glimpse to my story, and I don't share these things to make you feel sorry. I want you to know that, yeah, in this world, we will have trouble. And sometimes it does seem like it hits hard. And I know that you all, you have your moments you're carrying your heaviness. Maybe it's days, maybe it's weeks, maybe it's months. Maybe it feels like the darkness has settled in for years. And you're filled with tears or anger, despair, deep grief. Wondering, where is the joy? Maybe you're longing for joy. Joy in your own heart. Joy for a hurting friend or family member. Joy in the brokenness of our world. Joy for changed lives. Our theme in this series that we're doing, A Weary World Rejoices. I am weary, and I'm sure many of you are, but I know there is rejoicing. As the girls shared, the difference between happiness and joy. When I lift up my eyes on the darkest of days, I cannot deny the light, the glimmer of hope, the joy found deep within of something that is more beautiful and bigger than myself. The warmth that shows up in unexpected ways. Maybe from that call from a friend. You know, even someone smiling at me at the grocery store. Jesus knows our deep sorrow. He knew deep sorrow. He knows our pain. He knows our worries. He knows our need for him. That is why he came. Emmanuel, God with us, the light, the true light that came bursting forth into our world. In Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, Pete Shazzaro says, to feel is to be human. To minimize or deny what we feel is a distortion of what it means to be image bearers of our personal God. We are real. We have these feelings. We all feel happiness. We all feel anger, excitement, fear, sadness, disgust. These are the six core emotions. Here, I have a little picture here. Any of you guys seen this, kids? You know those guys? Yeah, we all have those feelings, hey? Every day, we have these feelings in the movie, Disney's movie, Inside Out. It shows we have all, these are inside of us. We have them. If you've received the light, you are a child of God. It doesn't mean you're not going to have these feelings. But being a child of God, because it makes you an enemy of the devil. About a month ago, we went through a series looking at how right after Jesus was baptized, he was led into the desert by the Spirit, and he was tempted by the enemy, by Satan. He was tempted. He made him question whether he was the Son of God. He made him question everything. And how much more will the enemy try to make us question, are we loved? But we can. I hope you can see that exclamation mark, that you are a child of God. That is who you are. Henry Nouwen put it this way, Jesus shows that true joy often is hidden in the midst of our sorrow, and that the dance of life finds its beginning in grief. I have a picture here in Ethiopia. This is, you can't really see it, but these doors are opening up into this really dark cave. And everything they built in Lalibela up north, they built everything they do has a symbolism to remind them of what God has done or what God is doing. And there's this cave that this is the only time I've experienced pure darkness. When you go into this, you come in on one side and you go in this little doorway and soon leave the light, you go into this total darkness and you walk through and you're kind of having to stumble around. But the joy, when you get to the other side and you come out into the light, it just reminds you that we need that light. We are created to live in the light. And that they do that as a reminder that in Christ we are a new creation. And we live in the light. The old is gone. You pass through. We are now creating Christ. So as the kids read earlier, if we look back at Jesus' story, kids, you remember this is Christmas. This is what it's all about. Was Jesus born in a fancy palace? No. Right? He came in the most humble of circumstances. He came to a young girl of really no social standing in a small town with no relatives around. Here she's a teen having a baby and not her family's not even there. And to top it off, they're in a stable. He came because he wanted to know he comes for everyone, even in our weakest and humblest of moments. And somewhere nearby, the angels appear to declare his arrival. They burst forth. The shepherds are just out in the field, as we read. They were out in the field watching their sheep, just doing their job like any night. And all of a sudden, this light bursts forth, and it interrupts their night to tell them the best news ever, that the Savior has been born. So we have this same. This Jesus has come. He has burst into this world, and we have this chance to allow him to interrupt our lives. This is where we are. Maybe we've received, we've heard the truth, we know it in our head, but do we really believe it? Do we trust it to be true? That is often the struggle when the hard times hit. We don't know. We're going to end. We're getting close to end, guys, kids, but I'm going to show you a really old video clip. Now, you kids won't be used to this. There's some black and white in there. So it is a black and white clip, but this is a classic. It's a Wonderful Life. I'm going to give you a little brief. So we have George Bailey here, and I love this movie. And, you know, he's maybe set aside some dreams to run the business, to stay in the town. He's hit with a little bit of a financial crisis, and other things are piling up, and he just wants to give up. He wants to call it quits in life. And then his angel shows up and gives him a perspective of what the town would be like, what everyone's life would be like without him if he wasn't there. Each of us are important. Each of us are an essential part of life in the relationships around us. Don't deny that you are important. Anyways, and then Clarence helps him just change his perspective. So we're going to come to this point where he has just kind of woken up from this time with Clarence.
You all right? Hey, what's the matter?
Now get out of here, Bert, or I'll hit you again. Get out of here.
What the Sam Hill you yelling for, George?
You...
Just wait.
George. Bert, do you know me?
Know you? You kidding? I've been looking all over town trying to find you. I saw your car piled into that tree down there, and I thought maybe you... Hey, your mouth's bleeding. Are you sure you're all right?
What you...
My mouth's bleeding, Bert! My mouth's bleeding! Zuzu's petals! Zuzu... There they are! Bert! What do you know about that? Merry Christmas!
Well, Merry Christmas!
Merry! Merry! Yay! Yay! Hello, Bedford Falls! Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas, George!
Merry Christmas, movie house! Merry Christmas, Emporium! Merry Christmas, you wonderful old building alone!
New Year to you! In jail!
Go on home, they're waiting for you.
Mary! 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 Well, hello, Mr. Bank Examiner. How
are... Mr. Bailey, there's a deficit.
I know, $8,000.
George, I've got a little paper.
I'll bet it's a warrant for my arrest. Isn't it wonderful? I'm going to jail. Merry Christmas, reporters. Where's Mary? Mary! Oh, look at this wonderful old drafty house. Mary! 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 Have you seen my wife?
Mary,
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 Daddy.
Daddy.
Daddy. Daddy!
Kids! Pete! Kids, Janie! Janie, Tommy! Oh, look at you. Oh, I could eat you up. Where's your mother?
She went looking for you.
With Uncle Billy.
Daddy!
Zuzu! Zuzu, my little ginger snap, how do you feel?
Fine!
Not a smidge of temper.
Not a smidge of Hallelujah.
Hello. George.
Mary.
Darling. Where?
Mary.
George, darling. Where are you?
Oh, George.
But, you know, even the drafty house, Merry Christmas drafty house, his broken banister, all these things that would have caused him frustration before. And George's life didn't change. It was just his perspective. And the same way we also like have when light comes in, it helps us focus on the hope, the peace, the joy, and the love that is there for Jesus to offer. It gives us this perspective. And it gives us this opportunity to claim the truth of his promises in our life. So my hope is for you, if you have received and believed, and that is an invitation open to everyone, to receive the light and believe in his name, then you are a child of God. And as a child of God, I am made new. As a child of God, I'm adopted into the family of the creator of this world. As a child of God, I am the child of the King of Kings. As a child of God, I am alive in Christ. As a child of God, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. As a child of God, I am greatly loved. As a child of God, I am more than a conqueror through him who loves me. And as a child of God, I can rejoice in this weary world because I have hope, peace, joy, and love that does not come from myself, from my stuff, from my circumstances around me, but from an everlasting Father who has won the victory. John states his purpose for this gospel in chapter 20, verse 31. He writes, "So that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, and that by believing, you may have life in his name." That light burst forth into the world. John's witness was an interruption to the silence. Jesus interrupts our world and wants to make us children of God who have a true hope, peace, joy, and love. And that in us will bear witness to this good news that maybe someone else needs. So Yorkson, have you let the light interrupt your life? It is my prayer that we all allow Jesus to chain the chance to interrupt our busy lives, interrupt the plans that we're making, interrupt our relationships, that we can experience what he wants to give us. And that light would seep into the darkest corners of our life.